Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. We're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish is going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, in a study entitled Preparing for Battle. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Let's go back to Joshua. The best thing to pray for, though, is the Lord gives us a bigger building and we don't have to worry about that problem. But that's in the Lord's hand and the Lord's timing. But until then, we're seeking to make these changes. The second word I want you to focus on is the word unbelief. And that's from verses 2 through 6. And this is a very serious portion in what we're going to look at. And not looking at this generation that God's dealing with here, but the generation that has just passed away from the scene. Look at verse 2. It says, "At that time the Lord said to Joshua, 'Make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time.'" Now what he means by the second time is for the last 40 years, or maybe a couple of years short of that, or some months short of that, these men have not been circumcised. And that was the sign of the covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham, and he said to seal this commitment, assure an outward sign of it, every male on the eighth day is to be circumcised. And that was that pledge, that sign that that nation belonged to God, and God was going to bring that nation into the purposes and plans that he had. And part of that purpose and plan was to bring them into the land. But an interesting thing happened that generation that just died off, none of them were circumcised, none of them really had a heart after God, and God eventually had to say to that generation, "You're not going into the land," and it says in his fury or in his wrath, he said, "You will not enter into my rest." They resisted the Lord over and over and over again, where God finally said, "That's it. The promises that I made to Abraham, it's going to go to you guys have forfeited that right. It's going to the next generation." So this generation wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until they all died off. And now a new generation is here, ready to take the land. Let's look at verse 3. "So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. And this is why, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed. God brought his discipline upon them. Why? Because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey." Now, look at this part. He says, this generation that came out of Egypt, think of the potential that this generation had. Think of the privilege that they had. They were the one generation saw those plagues come upon Pharaoh and his nation, the most mighty nation on the face of the earth. God intervened, it says, with his outstretched arm and brought these plagues upon him and delivered these slaves that were helpless, that had no power or strength. God rescued these weak people out and brought them unto himself. And then, as Pharaoh's armies chased him, God parts the Red Sea. This group goes on, sees the hand of God work a miracle, and then the enemies drowned in the Red Sea. Not only that, when they get out in the wilderness, God, for 40 years, provides bread from heaven. Every day, 6 days out of seven, they had food to go out right there in the wilderness. Not only that, they came to a place where there was no water. God miraculously brought water out of the rock. They came to a place where there was bitter water. God turned that bitter water to sweet. Miracle after miracle after miracle. And that's a generation that didn't enter into the promised land. Although God said to them, look in the bottom of verse 6, "I've given it to your fathers that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey." God's desire, that generation saw those miracles, was to take that generation and move them right into the promised land. They didn't come into that. And why is that? Because the text says they disobeyed. They weren't obedient to the voice of the Lord. Now listen to me very carefully. God's blessings in our life are conditional. God has a purpose and a plan, and us fulfilling that purpose is conditional. If we walk in disobedience, if we walk in unbelief, we will cut ourselves off from the purposes and plans of God, like this generation did. And here's a generation that had everything going for it. They had Moses as their leader. They had the power of God working miracles, and they didn't come into the things that God had for them. He wanted to give them that land. But when they got to the border, they sent in spies. They listened to the report of the 10 spies that said, "We can't do it," instead of the 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb. And God said, "That's it. I'm tired of it. You guys aren't going into land." And basically, it was a culmination of things. That was that last straw in the heart of God where he said, "That's it. You will not enter into the lands." And it says he said that in his wrath and his anger against them because of their unbelief. And that sin in their life, that resisting the Lord over and over and over again, ultimately manifested itself in an evil heart of unbelief where God said, "That's it. I'm going to let this generation die off. I'm going to work with the next generation." It's a couple things that we need to understand about this. We need to realize that God has a purpose for our life. God has a purpose for this church as well. And we're not just going to come into that purpose. It's not just going to automatically happen because we show up week after week. There needs to be that humble spirit that'll submit to the voice of God, submit to his word. It has a yieldedness there, a sensitivity, a desire to walk in the things of God, as well as your individual life. What you need to understand is that God rescued you from a pit of hell and sin and destruction, set you on a solid rock, and then God, the God of the universe, says, "This is what I want from your life." And God's not going to change. He's not going to lower that purpose. He's not going to lower that calling. God doesn't adjust to us. He wants us to adjust to him. And if we don't come into his purpose, he doesn't say, "Well, let's take something that's kind of less over here." He doesn't respond to us that way. What he does is says, "Here's what I have for your life. And you need to submit to that. You need to yield to that." God's not going to change. He wants us to change. And if we don't, God will raise up someone else. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need this church. He'll raise up someone else to do his work, and we will be cast aside. I don't want that to happen for my life. I want to come into the full purposes of God. And what it takes is for me to yield my life over and over and over to the Lord, trying to come into the purposes that he has for me, and to walk by faith and to guard my heart from being hardened by sin. If I don't do those things, I'm the one that's going to miss out. I want you to go in the New Testament with me, to Hebrews chapter 3, and basically it's a commentary on this generation that died there in the wilderness. Hebrews 3. Pick it up there at verse 7. And basically, we're reading about this generation, what God says about them as to why they were not going to enter into the land, and why this new generation now God is working with. Hebrews 3, verse 7 says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says," look at this next word, "today, and if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness." God is speaking out, and he says, there's opportunity, there's chance. And that relates to, will you listen to God today? What God tells you to do today, will you respond to him? Don't put it off. Don't put obedience off down the road. Don't put off, "Well, one of these days or next week when I come to church, that's when I'm going to get serious about the Lord. Or that's when I'm going to deal with the sin in my life." God would say, today, deal with it. Hear his voice today. Don't harden your heart when God speaks. Don't say, "Well, I'll get around that to that later," because it doesn't get easier down the road. It gets more difficult. And that's what happened with Israel. God says, 10 times you have rejected me. And they murmured against the Lord. They murmured against Moses. And they just had a lifestyle or a pattern of that where it finally culminated where they rejected to go into the land and walked in unbelief. They didn't start at that point. They started as gripers and complainers, and their heart got to the point of being hard, and they walked in unbelief where God says, "I'll reject you, cast you aside. I'll let you just die in the wilderness." And God is calling out through the scriptures, it says, to avoid that, to avoid the problems down the road that sin causes, The remedy for that is today listen to the voice of God. Don't resist or don't harden your heart. When the Spirit of God starts dealing with areas in our life, we need that heart that's tender, need that heart that's yielded, ready to yield to the things of God. He goes on to say, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. So it wasn't just this one-time event. It was something that was perpetual. They're always going astray in their heart. And they have not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. That's the scripture. Now he's going to apply it. He says, beware. Here's the warning. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. So now he warns us. Don't be like these people. Paul says the Old Testament scriptures are written for our admonition, our instruction. As God dealt with people in the past, he's going to deal with people in the present. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He shows no partiality. And just like he cut these people off, he'll cut us off if we allow an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God.